Because Jesus said, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So we have to worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, see, Tomani spoke a second ago about this woman that he met who said she loved God, but she didn't believe in Jesus. You see, you can worship in spirit, but is it the right spirit? That's why Jesus said you can worship in spirit and in truth, because Jesus is the truth. Unless you have Jesus as the truth, you won't be worshiping the real God. Because God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Now, we can go along in life, and we can go after God's blessing. And we can experience God's blessing, and we can do that outside of salvation. We can even respond to that blessing and want to serve God. We can maybe do something in the church, or we can serve him however we best see. But we can do that outside of salvation. We may even want to move in God's power. We may even seek to move in God's power. And believe it or not, you can do that outside of salvation. Because Jesus said, away from me, I never knew you. He said, people said, didn't we cast out demons and heal the sick? And Jesus said, away from me, I never knew you. We can give our life because we're following after God. There's plenty of people in the world that give their life and they think they're following after God. And all of it goes nowhere if we don't have faith. You see, we have to have faith. We have to believe that God is real. We have to believe in what Jesus did, the truth part, so that we can worship in the Spirit. Amen? I believe our journey of faith, in our journey of faith, we must have encounters with him. It's very important that we actually recognize that we need to have encounters with him, because God is spirit, and I want to show you that today. I want to show you that we need to have encounters with him. We need to come into his presence. Some of you have already experienced God's presence this morning, but some have not. So I want to talk to you about that. Turn with me to Luke chapter 9. Now, we were there last week and Pastor Martin was preaching out of the same passage. And I was sitting there and I believed that this is what the Lord was wanting me to say. And I'm going, how is this going? He's stealing all my passages. But I believe the Lord is wanting to say something and we need to listen to that. Amen? We need to listen to what he's saying. So Luke chapter 9 verse 27 and onward says this. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. They see the kingdom of God. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John and James and went up on a mountain to pray. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. But Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Then it happened, as they were parting from him, that Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. Okay, so So Jesus has spent this time with his disciples. He's walked along. He's demonstrated the power of God. He's healed people. He's raised people. He's cast out devils. He's done all of these things. But there comes a point in the ministry where his disciples just haven't got it yet. And he says to them, essentially, it's not written in here, but he basically says to the three guys, okay, Peter, John, and James, come with me. Come on, come for a walk with me up the mountain, and I want to show you something. I want to show you something. So he takes them up the mountain. And as he prays, it changes. Things change. The very atmosphere changes. The spiritual realm collides with the natural realm. That's what happened. The spiritual realm collides with the natural realm. And all of a sudden, there's this mixing of the spiritual and the physical realm. And they didn't realize what was going on, did they? They saw this thing, and Peter, James, and John were up there because Jesus wanted to show them this other realm. Some of us have never seen this other realm. Some of us experienced parts of it, but there's this realm, there's this spiritual realm that is in some ways separate to the natural realm. And Jesus wanted to show this to them. It was a one-off experience for those people. But I believe for Jesus, I believe that Jesus was experiencing that realm every time he went away by himself. Every time he went up the mountain by himself, and there's plenty of times in the scriptures where he goes off by himself. Didn't he say to them once in John chapter 4, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. He would go into this place. He would go into prayer and he would be transfigured all by himself. No one could see. And God's power would be upon him. And every time that happened, he came down the mountain and power was on him and people got healed, people got saved, people got delivered. Jesus was trying to show them the possibilities in God. See, we have so many more possibilities in God that we don't recognize, and Jesus is trying to show this to them. Peter recognizes it. Peter sees this realm and goes, this realm, there's something different about this realm. This realm is so much, let's camp here. Let's camp here. Let's make some tabernacles. Hey, Jesus, let me make some tabernacles. I don't want to go. Anyone who's been in the presence of God will agree with me, they don't ever want to leave it. If you've been in the presence of God, you don't ever want to leave it. Amen? Anyone who's experienced what I'm talking about knows very well when the presence of God comes, you just want to stay in it. You don't want to leave. And that's what Peter was trying to do. Now, I'm not going to go into this whole thing because Pastor Martin went through this scripture much better than I'd be able to. I just want to focus on this aspect of the possibilities that Jesus was showing his disciples. He was showing them the possibilities, you see, because Jesus, when he was born sinless. He was born just the same the way Adam was. And I believe that Adam had this ability to go in and out of the spiritual realm and the physical realm, like Jesus did, like Jesus was showing his disciples. Adam could go in and out of this realm until he sinned. And sin broke it. Sin separated that realm and caused that realm to be divided. But Jesus never had that. So Jesus could go into that realm and out of that realm. And what he's trying to tell us in this scripture is that we have this possibility now. The possibilities are there. After the Holy Spirit came, all of the disciples experienced this realm on their own. And we'll go into that. But Adam lost that realm, lost the ability to go into that realm. I believe, actually, the Garden of Eden, and this is just a view, the Garden of Eden was actually in that realm. And he could go in and feed on the tree of life. But when it was broken, there were cherubim there stopping anyone going from the natural into the spiritual realm so easily. See, this was normal for Jesus. Think about when Jesus was tempted by the devil in John? No, it's not in John. Hang on. It's in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, it says he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The Spirit himself led him to be tempted of the devil. Now, I believe that was in the Spirit. That was in this realm, you see. He went into that realm because the devil is a spiritual being. He went into that realm and all of a sudden, it fell over. Sorry. All of a sudden, the devil takes him to the peak of a mountain and shows him the kingdoms of the world. How does he do that? He doesn't do that in the natural. He does it in the spiritual realm. All of a sudden, he gets taken to the pinnacle of the temple. The devil leads him up to the pinnacle of the temple. That's all happening in the spiritual realm. So Jesus was experiencing this realm as a thing that happened. What we're talking about is having intimacy with him. That's the point, you see. Jesus came to make this doorway open, this gateway open, so that the spiritual and the physical can connect, so that we can have intimacy with him. We can't truly have intimacy with him unless we're in the Spirit, unless we're in this realm. Now, it may manifest itself as a vision or a trance, but it might be just his tangible presence comes into the room. Some of you have experienced his tangible presence. That's having intimacy with God, because God is Spirit. And Spirit, we worship him in spirit and in truth. When the Apostle John was in the Spirit one day, it said he heard a voice from behind him. And he went so far into that spiritual realm, he walked into heaven. That's the book of Revelation. He walked into heaven and he saw all this stuff. And he was in there for an extended period of time. And who knows how long it was. Who knows whether he was in the body or out of the body. But he was in the Spirit at the time. We can experience this realm. I want to challenge you today to think about how you relate to God. Because we must relate to him in the Spirit. That's why we're so often talking about being in the Spirit. The Apostle Paul has an encounter on the road to Damascus. Jesus, by his grace, smashes into him so that the spiritual and the physical meet. Jesus manifests himself and shocks Paul and changes him forever. Let's read about what Paul said happened to him. Once he got saved, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. And he's saying it in the third hand, but it's widely recognized that it was actually him who experienced this. It says in verse 2, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Here we have a story of Paul going into the third heaven. He was in the Spirit. All of a sudden, he's caught up, and he spends some significant time in there. He doesn't even recognize whether he took his body with him or not, but that's not even the point. The point is he was in the Spirit, and when he was in the Spirit, he experienced that a tangible change, a tangible manifestation of the kingdom of God. Amen? We are able to experience that. It's not just for Peter and John and Paul. Now, we may not get caught up to the third heaven. Some of us will, but we can experience his presence. The whole point of what Jesus came to do was to bring that intimacy back. He came to bring us that intimacy so that we can commune with the living God. And the only way we can commune with the living God is in the Spirit. If you try and do it in your head, it's not going anywhere. If we commune in the Spirit, we will experience God. God will speak to us. That's how people like Pastor Martin, Pastor Michelle, Pastor Everett, that's how they hear in the Spirit. God speaks to them. And they speak out words from heaven. So you can experience this. You can experience this. Let me show you something. Turn with me to Acts chapter 10, and we'll just look at what Peter experienced. And in that, Acts chapter 10 and verse 9 says, now, let me just qualify that. Peter was in Joppa. He was with Simon the Tanner. He decided to go up on the housetop to pray. Meanwhile, God sends an angel to Cornelius and says, go and get Peter. I have a message for you. Peter will tell you what the message is. So Cornelius sends three men to Simon the Tanner's house. Before he gets there, Peter is in this situation. The next day, as they went on the journey and drew near to the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And in Acts chapter 11, verse 5, it says, he saw a vision. So he fell into a trance and saw a vision. He saw heaven open. So he's in this realm. He prayed and he's in this realm. He's in this spiritual realm where the spiritual meets the physical. He saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth. Wild beasts, creeping things, birds of the air. And a voice came to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again the second time, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Peter gets in the spiritual realm and he has a conversation with God. He has a conversation with God. He's in this realm and he's talking to God about it. And God's trying to show him something that he doesn't understand. And as he contemplates this, he comes out of the Spirit and he's sitting there. But because he's been in the Spirit so long, the Spirit speaks to him. Afterwards, he's out of the Spirit. In verse 19, it says, while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise therefore and go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. So he has a conversation while he's in the Spirit, and as a result of that, God speaks to him when he's back thinking about this, thinking about the vision, thinking about what it meant. What does it mean? What does it mean by kill and eat? Well, I don't understand, God. What are you trying to say? And he goes with these three guys, and he goes to Cornelius' house, and he starts to realize. He starts to realize what the vision meant. And in verse 34 it says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him.'" The NIV says, "Shows no favoritism." So partiality is not, God is not partial to any of us. He treats us all the same. If they can experience this, so can you. That's what that's saying. God is not partial. He will allow you to experience his Spirit just the same. Now, it's going to be different because your personality is different. Your calling is different. You know, some people will experience visions directly related to their calling. Some perhaps won't. But we can all experience the presence of God, the tangible presence of God in our lives often, because God is not partial. God will do it. He doesn't show favoritism. What's good for me is good for you. What's good for John is good for you. What's good for Peter is good for you. You can experience that. If you go into your room, close the door and say, "God, speak to me," and you get in the Spirit, God will speak to you. I've experienced that many times. And the more I do it, the more I want it. The more I do it, the more I want it, the less I want of anything else. That's the truth. Because when you've been in his presence, you don't want to be anywhere else. And what I've learned is that as I go down that track, it's like just opening up. Everything is opening up. People think that when you get speaking in tongues, you've got the Spirit. That's just the beginning. That's not the end. That's the beginning. That's where we can then move into. That's just an evidence of the Spirit touching our lives. We can move into so much more. Are you willing? Are you willing to move into more? Verse 44, "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." God wants you to experience his presence. God wants to manifest his presence in your life. But do you want it? Do you want it? Pastor Martin said earlier, are you desperate for it? Because I tell you, there's got to be a point in that in your life where you're willing to lay it down, lay your life down so that you can experience more of this. See, some people will want to seek after God for the blessing and they're happy to rest in the blessing. I understand that. I understand that. God's blessings are awesome. But that's all some people want, is the blessings. It's very self-focused. Some may even want to give back a little bit and serve. Some may even want to move in the power of God. All of that. It's all about intimacy with him. That's the point. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to restore that connection that Adam lost. You see, I believe Adam walked in and out of this realm just like Jesus did. but he lost it. Jesus came to restore that. He came to give us the ability to go into this and have intimacy with him. That's what we want to do with God, is have intimacy with him, is to walk with him. And the more we walk with him, the more we want to walk with him. The less we walk with him, the less we want to walk with him. That's the truth. That's just sadly the way it is. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. How do we do this? How do we get transformed? You see, when we seek him, we get transformed by this presence. This very presence I'm talking about, we get transformed by it. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 16 says this, "Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away." The veil is taken away. It's like something lifts off your life and you see things differently. When I became a Christian, that's what happened to me from one day to the next. I gave my life to the Lord one night. The next day, the whole world was different. Like it was that dramatic to me. It was just different. I saw things differently. When I listened to something, I could see that there was wickedness in it. The world was different to me. The veil was taken away. And then it says in verse 17, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." If you don't have liberty, you're not moving in the Spirit of the Lord, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Verse 18, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." That's how we get transformed, by beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Behold him, and he will change you. Behold the glory of the Lord, and he will transform you. Behold his image, you will go from glory to glory. If you think about Moses, he went up the mountain and he talked with God. Moses is a bit of an exception in the sense that he was so close to God and that God spoke to him and that he was hanging out in this tangible presence of God. And he came down glowing. He came down glowing. If we spend enough time in his presence, we can be different. We can be changed. The more we spend time in his presence, and people have experienced this. There are many men of God in the past who have walked into the room and people have been convicted of their sin just by being there. What is that? That's the presence of God resting on their life. They've spent so much time in God's presence that people are convicted just by you being there. You see, the Christian life is so much, it's endless. It's endless. We're continually trying to search out more of God. It's so much more. We limit God by our natural thinking, by seeing in this natural realm, when the whole time God is wanting to show us this other realm. Jesus took them up there on the mountain to show them this other realm, show them the possibilities in God. The possibilities in God are endless for us. But the only way we go into them is when we're transformed by beholding his glory. Amen. That's the first point of beholding His glory. When we have intimacy with Him, remember, God is spirit. Worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. When we worship Him, when we behold His glory, that's what we're doing here when we worship. We're trying to behold His glory, because when we behold His glory, we change. See, God doesn't need our worship. He doesn't need our worship. It's actually for our benefit, for us to worship Him. We beholding Him, it changes us. Now, that's not why we worship God, obviously. We worship God because He's worthy. But I'm just telling you that the benefits are there for us. The benefits are there for us. It's about intimacy. See, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world," He said to Pilate. "If it were of this world, I'd command a whole legion of angels to come and thousands of angels to come and rescue me. But my kingdom is not of this world." The Bible says we are soldiers of Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're soldiers. And it says, don't be entangled by the affairs of this life. If you want to experience more of this presence of God, if you want to experience more of God, you've got to let go of the natural. You've got to let go. You've got to not allow yourself to be entangled by the things of this world, by the issues of life. Don't let yourself get tangled up by the issues of life. We're all in the natural realm. We have to live in the natural realm. We have to go to work. We have to have a shower. We have to do things. That's normal. That's okay. But don't get entangled by them. Don't let them take over your life, is what it's talking about. If you've got your own business, this is one of the reasons why I never had my own business. I never had my own business, and I'm not saying it's wrong to have a business by any means, but for me, I know myself, if I'd have had a business, I would have been entangled by it. Because I'm an all-in, so I'm a boots and all sort of person. I don't do things half-heartedly. Ask my wife. I tend to do things fully. I know that if I'd had a business, it would have entangled me. So I challenge you, business owners, don't be entangled by your business. Your business is a tool to provide for you. That's it. Don't be entangled by the issues of life. Don't let things that are happening in your life entangle you and stop you from experiencing more of God, because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the natural and the spiritual intermingling, and we can get to go into that realm of the spirit and the natural colliding with each other. We can have that. You see, we have to have expectancy. We have to expect that God will move. If we have these two, if we're beholding His glory and He's changing us, He's transforming us, or He's transfiguring us, if you like, when we worship Him, and we don't allow ourselves to be entangled, what else we need is expectancy. Pastor Martin spoke about desperation, having this desire, this deep-seated desire to want nothing else. When we want nothing else, then we'll go into the third heaven like Paul. Paul went into the third heaven because he had nothing else. Nothing else mattered anything to him except God's will, God's purpose. That's why he could suffer. That's why he could go through what he went through. We read it and go, how did the guy do this? That's how. Because nothing matters after that. When you get into that, when you go so far into God that nothing else matters in your life, it doesn't matter if you get persecuted. It doesn't matter if you suffer. It doesn't matter if you go without. None of those things mean anything because they're the natural realm. See, God's a spirit. We must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The spiritual realm, this realm is where we're going when we die. This realm is where Chris Roberts is right now, in heaven. We can experience that now. You have eternal life now. Why don't you start to experience it? But you have to let the other things go. You have to let the issues of life go. I want to end up with a scripture. It's not a scripture, but it might as well be. It's a quote from Smith Wigglesworth. Let me read this out. And it sums up so well this whole death to self. And Smith Wigglesworth, for those of you who don't know, was one of those people who walked into a room and people were convicted of their sin just by his mere presence. He was a man who walked in the Spirit. He walked in the power of God. He said this, "The human must decrease if the power of the life of God shall be made manifest by his Spirit. There is no room for two lives in the one body. Death to you is the way to life, to the life of the Christ of God being manifested through you. Your human desires are a tremendous hindrance and a curse to your life. Human supremacy, wanting to do something special, and it's not until you cease can God increase."